to my knees, Lord, I lay me. reading in Job, and you know, at the beginning, everything's falling apart in his world, and he was talking to some of his friends, and they were saying, you know, in the past, you've encouraged many people. You have strengthened those who are weak. Your words have supported those who were failing. You've encouraged those with shaky knees, but now trouble strikes, you lose heart. And we've been talking a lot about how God is within us, you know, and a lot of times we call out, Lord, bring me peace, bring me hope, bring me strength. But they're reminding him that he already has that. He's already got that within. He's already got that strength. He's already got that encouragement because he's been giving it to others. And so a lot of times when we have, you know, the world going around us, it's so nice to have somebody remind you that God is within you. He's already given you that peace, just saying, thank you, Lord, for that peace. Thank you for the support, as opposed to asking for it. He's already given it to you. We just have to acknowledge it.
All creation.
praise you, Lord. Thank you.
Come with expectations.
so excited to be here in your presence today. I'm so full of joy. I can't even contain it. Thank you for everything you do.
You may be seated. Aren't you glad that it's not dependent upon us for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be present and so empowering to us? It's not what we do. It's not that the rehearsal went perfect this morning or anything along those lines. It's because of Him enjoying His presence. For our ushers will be preparing to receive our morning's tithes and offerings and alms. You can go ahead and begin passing out those buckets. A lot of important information that is in your bulletin. There is a, remind you, there's a connection card in there. That connection card is for everybody that is here. If you're a guest, we'd love to follow up with an email with you. If you are a member, we'd just like to know for sure that you were here. So if you can drop that in the offering bucket each and every week, that helps us in keeping track. If you have a prayer request or something along those lines that you need to convey to us, you can write those down. We make sure that we read those and follow up with those. So there's in the bulletin, it has information about on the 29th our what is it we're doing out here? We're doing called the Trunk or Treat. It's taking place out here. The ladies are going to be preparing a meal. We're going to be eating that on that 29th. All you need to do is show up and be a part of that and enjoy that. Our Thanksgiving meal, it's hard to believe, is not too far away. Connections start back up this Wednesday night, and we'll have 4 weeks of connections, and then it'll be our Thanksgiving meal on the 19th. And Brian, at the end of the service, will tell you a little bit more of something that will be taking place on the 19th. Let's pray and bless the offering. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can come and we can worship you. Lord, that you can speak to our hearts, that your presence is here and with us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you'll take the tithes and the offerings and the alms, and you'll bless them, Father, Lord. You'll multiply them to the furtherment of your kingdom. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray.
Now, I muted it when I wasn't supposed to. Let me, first of all, thank a few people for filling in for me while I was gone. Dr. Ralph one Sunday and Will last Sunday. And had almost had a real bad Wednesday night because I was thinking on Wednesday morning a couple of weeks ago, I think I told Ralph that he needed to take Wednesday night. And the more I thought about that, I could not remember actually doing that. So I called him and I asked him, what are you doing tonight to see? He said, well, I've got a client at my house. I said, So well, that's good. I said, well, have a good meeting. And we talked a little bit and I thought, well, what am I going to do now? So I knew Kim was instant in season, not a season. So I called Margaret and asked her if her and Ken could fill in for me on a Wednesday night. We're doing a teaching just on sharing with one another called Judge Not and Why We Shouldn't Judge. Thank you for that last minute deal and doing that for me and making me look good, not bad. So glad I'm back. I didn't catch a lot of fish. It was my worst fishing trip ever. I don't know what it was. It wasn't the fisherman. It was the fish not cooperating. Had one moment where we were just really catching some big fish. I caught the biggest amberjack I ever caught. And the porpoises came in and started eating our fish as we'd bring them up. And so we'd get them up to the boat and half the fish was gone. And I was getting upset with the porpoises until I remembered this is their grocery store. And I am fishing in their grocery store and they have first priority. And if you don't think they do, they will let you know they have first priority. Because they can handle it very well. They look real sweet, but they're pretty vicious. Don't ever take them for granted. When they can take a fish that big and bite it in half, they are pretty vicious. Got some teeth that you may not know about. So next time you jump in the water to play with the little porpoises, just they got some big teeth. Last few weeks, a lot of times I go on vacation, I read a lot. And I didn't read a lot. I read very little. Almost didn't read anything. But I thought a lot, and I reflected a lot. And we've been in a series called The Body. We're going to close that series this morning. The body is the body of Christ. And we talked about how that God used a lot of different illustrations or things to talk about who we are. He said that we're His army. If we're His army, we need a captain, right? We need a leader. How many know He's the greatest leader ever? He said we're His sheep. If we're His sheep, then we need a shepherd. Talked about we're His children. We're sons and His daughters. Well, if we're His sons and His daughters, we need a father. And He's a great father. And if we're His body, which we are, He's the head. And the body needs to respond to the head, because without the head, the body has no movement. Without the brain telling us what to do, we have nothing to do. And so the most important part of our being is our head. Our head is where our brain is, what we think. It's where our ears is, what we hear. It's where our mouth is, what we speak. Where our nose is, what we discern, what we smell. And so all of that's in Christ, the head of the church. And we, His body, need to always be responding to that. And so while I was thinking for the last few weeks how to close this out, I thought about what is the most important Christian trait or Christian attribute that there is. And my first response was, well, it has to be love. And I believe love is. But I believe there's something that's more important than love. Because without this, love really won't manifest. And it's a thing called humility. Humility. And I'm not going to define humility out of the gate. I'm going to go through some things about scriptures and some illustrations from that and let humility define itself. Because if I asked several people last week what they thought humility was, give me one sentence on what humility is, and all of them gave me some really great, one was off the wall, said humility was being shamed. And I thought, well, no, that's not humility. But he was a young guy, I didn't know any better. But he at least tried. And so I'm going to ask you to try to define humility as we go along. But I know, let me give you the opposite. The opposite of humility, how many know, is pride? Arrogant. How many know the most distasteful, probably, thing that bothers all of us the most is seeing a very prideful, arrogant person? I mean, you know, isn't it amazing how we can see that in other people, but it's really hard to see that in ourselves? I mean, I tell you, I know when you're arrogant and when you're prideful, but it's hard for me to see that in me. And so, you know, we've all seen the girl that was drop-dead gorgeous, right? But she knew it, and she flaunted it. I mean, I've had those girls in school. I mean, they wouldn't give you the time of day. Nobody was good enough for them. And we've heard this, you know, said this so many times. She is just as beautiful on the inside as she is on the what? And we've known the athlete that was so good, but his arrogancy just really, you didn't like. Now, I love athletics. I've watched it all my life. I love football, baseball. And I love to see a guy who's really, really good. But I like to see a guy who's got some humility about him. I like to see a guy who knows he's good. He knows that he's good, but he doesn't have an arrogancy about him. He's got more of a gratitude and thankfulness for where he is in life. It's just good to see those kind of attributes with people. And James 4:6, pride is the disposition of the heart that brings opposition from God. He gives even more grace to stand against such evil desires. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but favors the humble. Wow. Let me read that, what I wrote again. Pride is the disposition of the heart that brings opposition from God. That's a pretty strong statement. God, one translation simply said, God opposes the proud. In other words, it brings something from the creator of the universe that just opposes that. It's where he can't do anything with that person. He can't do anything really through that person because they're so full of pride, they don't really know where it's coming from. The fact of the matter is, Ralph and I have had, for the last year, lots of conversation about how can you teach positive living, how can you put it into people who they are. They're not beneath, they're above, they're not the tail, they're the head. How can we build people up without seeing pride and ego come in? How can that happen and you still be humble? Well, you'll see it can happen. The greater we become in God, the less about our lives we become. The more we grow in God, the more about God. You know, John the Baptist said this when he saw Christ coming. He said, I must decrease and he must increase. And I was thinking about that this morning. It hit me that the God that we are must decrease. And the God who really is should increase. And that is so powerful to think about because what we've tried to do over the last few years is bring us to a greater understanding and a definition of who God is. Because this whole journey on earth is finding out more and more who this God is. He's not the God that I learned as a child. He's not the God that I knew 30 years ago. Because he should be a God that we're constantly revealing himself to us and we're seeing who God really is on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis. And the God that you see even today should not be the God you see next year. It should be the God that you serve next year shouldn't be the God you serve. Now, it's not a different God. Hold on. I'll run out of here. Beard's changing gods. No, we're changing our perspective of who he is. He's still God. But how I see him and how I understand about him. The Bible says the lack of knowledge about God can bring some awful things to our life. And so I want to use an illustration in 2 Kings chapter 5. And it says, the king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. Though he was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. Let me tell you something. Naaman had two huge problems. One, he had leprosy eating the outside of his body on a daily basis. But he had pride eating the inside of his body on a daily basis. And the greatest revelation someone would have in that situation is to look in a mirror and would think maybe, what's my biggest problem? And they would probably say leprosy. But Naaman's biggest problem wasn't leprosy. It was what was on the inside that almost denied him his healing. He come this close not being healed. Because he was not owning up. There was something eating at him on the inside that was worse than what was happening on the outside. And it's a medical phenomenon that's happened over and over. It's happened to believers. It's happened to non-believers. It's happened to people who didn't even know what transpired. That they dealt with an issue on the inside of their body and their body on the outside was healed. That what was gnawing at them on the inside was causing physical manifestations on the outside. That only and when they dealt with the inside was the body or the outward man touched and healed. Because it goes on to say that There was a time when the Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel. And among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. She's not a maid because she's getting paid. She's not a maid because she gets up one day and says, I think I'm going to get hired. No, she's captured. She's ripped from her family. She's made to be a maid. She's made to do maybe what she didn't want to do. But instead of being filled with bitterness and filled with ill will toward the man who had captured her and made her the maid of his wife, one day the girl said, I wish my master would go see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy. Thank God for people who know how to love their enemies. Who know how to not take their circumstance and situation and let it eat at them, but how to take their circumstance and situation and minister in it. She found a way in the most distraught situation that she's ever been in her life, ripped from her family, to say, I wish this man who captured me could see the prophet in Israel. He could heal him. He could heal him. But what happens? We won't read it all. Let's just talk about it. Naaman goes. This shows his pride. This is how he goes. Go visit the prophet. I will send a letter of instruction for you to take to the king. So Naaman started out carrying as gifts 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold. Most prophets would be really happy to see that coming. I would be real happy to see that coming right now. And our financial, I would love to see somebody come into Eagles Way Church and said, oh, we heard if we come there, we may have a chance of getting healed. So in our process of coming, we're going to bring 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, sets of clothing. Wow. He's coming to buy the healing. Don't get me started. He's coming to purchase what God gives free. It's coming to pay what God says is a gift. Because what I understand about 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's a gift of healing. It's a gift of miracles. It's a gift of wisdom. It's a gift of knowledge. It's a gift of discernment. It's a gift. Can't pay for it. Can't work for it. Can't do anything to get it other than receive it. And so he shows up with all these gifts and all these soldiers. And Elisha knows he's out there, so he says to his servant, go out there and deal with this. Go out there and deal with this. And what do you want me to say? Tell him to go down to the dirty, muddy Jordan River and dip seven times, and his leprosy will be healed. You got to be kidding. I'm bringing you all this gold and all this silver and all these clothes, and you're telling me to go dip in a river. And the Bible says he became angry and stalked away. Now listen. I don't have to tell you, because when I say this, you all know this by now. Why? Because it said, I thought.
There it is.
I thought. It always comes back to what I'm thinking. What I'm thinking is going to manifest in my life. And so he said, I thought. I thought. He certainly would come out to meet me. I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of the Lord, God, and heal me. Aren't the rivers of Damascus, Abana, Pharpar, better than any of the rivers of Israel? Why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed? So Nahum turned and went away in a rage. God ever asked you to do something you didn't want to do? He's so close to missing his healing. Thank God there were some other people. His officers tried to reason with him and said, "Sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult," or another translation said, "Had he told you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it? So you certainly should obey him when he says simply, 'Go wash and be cured.'" What's your Jordan? I wrote down a few things I thought was my Jordan. I'll extend your love to anybody except that person. I'm willing to forgive anything except that offense. I'm willing to go anywhere except that place. I'm going to tell you something. Never say never. Because I've made the statement, I would never forgive that offense and had to forgive it. I'll never extend my love to that person and had to do it. When I first began in the ministry 38, 39 years ago, there was a man that God told me to embrace and make him one of my best friends. He was totally opposite of anybody I associate with. He didn't look like him. He didn't think like him. And one of the things that God had to deal with me over my lifetime is I'm a very visual person. I wish I wasn't, but I am. I in the pharmacy a few weeks ago, and there was this display anyway, it had lights. It was lights, and it just caught me. I went, "Wow!" Well, it was just flashing these lights, and it was such a beautiful. And the bottles were just a type of vitamin, you know. And I looked at it and said, "Wow, that's got to work." I had never heard of this, but I had both bottles and went and paid for it all because it looked good. Wow. I love the blinking. I mean, I had that. Why do you think they had those lights flashing? To get people like me? I'm sure they're on the video watching. He got him. Man, it was so pretty. And God began to deal with me 38, 39 years ago. Stop looking on the outward appearance and begin to look at people's hearts. And don't be so dadgum visual. And I still have to remind myself of that over and over again. Don't look at me like you don't have that problem. I'm not going to tell that story, but it was it was the absolute most prejudiced, judgmental thing in my life before I became a Christian. And that's the one reason that I will never from this podium stand and talk about a person's lifestyle, talk about this or talk about that, or judge anybody because of what was in me that God took out of me and set me free. What is humility? Glad you ask. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Though he was God, he did not think his equality with God was something to cling to. I'm going to tell you something. The greatest thing Christ ever did for you and me was not the cross. That was awesome. That fulfilled his destiny, that fulfilled salvation and paid the price for it. But had he not considered his equality with God something to be grasped, he never would have come back to earth. You see, Jesus is God. Jesus even said on the planet, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He gave up his equality with God to come. He gave up his privilege. He gave up his right. You know, Keith Wesley texted me yesterday, this long text, and just thanking me for supporting him and being with him while he's in his treatment in Jacksonville, and how much it means to him. And I thought about Keith. I remember 30 some odd years ago, Keith is a doctor. He has a degree. He's an agronomist. He had a very lucrative job with the University of Georgia. And God called Keith into the ministry. And he gave up a very lucrative position for a very non-lucrative position. I thought, wow, that's humility. That's saying, I would rather do this and please God than do this and please myself. You see, I ain't like Keith. I didn't give up anything for this. God called me into the ministry. My dad told me, God, I'm so grateful God called you because you can't do nothing else. My dad could do anything. I mean, literally, he was a mechanic, he was an electrician, he was a plumber. We fixed anything. That's why when he died, I started buying brand new cars because he fixed all my cars. I knew I'd never get them fixed. And so God called me. It wasn't no big deal. I had nothing to give up. So I can't stand before you and go, look what I did. No. When I go home every day almost of my life and I'm pulling in my driveway, I say, thank you, thank you, thank you, God, for saving me and giving me this job. Thank you for gifting me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, because if it were not for you, I would be dead. I would be dead. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and he took the humble position of a slave. He took it. He wasn't forced to. He took it. I like new phrases because I know when new phrases come along, it takes about 5 years for them to register. And this new phrase came from Dr. Ralph months ago, giving up our need to be right. I just like that. Isn't theology wonderful? I love theology. You know, theology is not worth it until it becomes life. No matter what I believe, until it becomes life. And I like that statement. I've given up my need to be right, but every now and then, it rises up. He humbled himself in obedience to God. Matthew 20:28, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. You know, some people think humility is just being a doormat for people. No. Humility is serving. Bottom line, humility is simply, you're going to see in a moment, obeying God and serving people. That's humility. Nothing more, nothing less. Serving. I talked about Keith, but I want to tell you one of the most humble people I know on planet Earth. I've been married to her for 42 years, December, is my wife. She's so humble. She's a servant. She just wants to serve. She came up here last night and served her family. Just served, served, served her family. Because she's a servant. I'm going to give you two things in closing that is humility. Number one, immediate obedience to God's instructions. I want everybody to say that. Immediate obedience to God's instructions. Why do we not want to obey? Pride. Pride. Why do I not want to reach out to that person? Pride. Why do I not want to forgive this, do this, do that? Immediate obedience. Think about this. The Bible's full of it, but here's some pretty good ones. Noah, build an ark. Build an ark? What's an ark? Well, first of all, it's not just a little boat you're going to build. This is quite a ship. 50 cubits wide, 30 cubits high. How big's that? Look it up. It's big. It's big. Where are you going to build it? Out in the middle of nowhere. Well, how am I going to get the boat to the water? I'm going to bring the water to you. Yeah. Let me get this right. I'm going to build this huge boat, and you're going to bring the animals to me, you're going to put in it, and you're going to bring the water to me. Yeah. How many of you would have built that boat? What you doing, Noah? Building the ark. Why? Flood's coming. How are you going to get it to the ocean, Noah? God's bringing it to me. For 100 years, he looked like a fool building a boat that he could have never got to the water. I'd rather look a fool for Christ than look a wise man for everybody else. Joseph, why don't you marry that pregnant girl? And she's not carrying your baby. Wow. I said, I'm not stretching that. Mary's pregnant and it's not his baby. Wow. Joshua, you're a great leader. Them walls of Jericho are not going to be conquered by force. Going to be conquered by obedience. That is good. That was kind of right off the truck. That was hot off the grill right there, I like to say. That was a nugget, you like to say. I want you to go around the walls for 7 days. Once every day, I want you to march around this wall, and I don't want anybody to say anything. The greatest miracle that happened was not the walls coming down, was nobody saying anything. That was the greatest miracle. That's the greatest miracle. Then on the last day, I want you to march around 7 times. And you know how many people were standing on those walls looking down going, "How crazy are you?" But there was one little girl in there who didn't think it was that crazy. And she made a plan, and she put a scarlet rope out, and she wanted to know. And when the walls came down, all the walls around her fell but her section. I just want you to shout in obedience. Wow. Gideon, I know they look like grasshoppers. I know there's so many of them but you got too many people. Send all your men home who are afraid. Send all your men home who can't drink water correctly and drink it, lap it like a dog. And you got 300 people left. And I want you to take that 300 people and I want you to go to war. Really? Immediate obedience to God's. That's going to come in so good in a minute. Just wait and see. Immediate obedience to God's instructions. Number two, keep yourself small through your daily interactions with other people around you. Keep yourself small. Linda was one I asked about humility, and she said, valuing others more than you value yourself. John 13, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority, and everything he had come from God, and he would return to God. I'll tell you what humility is. Humility is extreme confidence. Extreme confidence in who you are. Extreme confidence in who God says you are is humility. Because it's so humble, because it's who God says I am and not who I say that I am. He knew he came from God. He knew he had all authority. He knew that. So, because he knew that, he got up from the table, wrapped a towel around his waist, poured water into a basin, then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel he had around them. That job should have already been done. And no, it's right. And nobody was willing to do it but the greatest man in the room. The greatest man in the room chose to do the most menial task in the room. I want to close my second closing. I used to love that when I was a kid. Well, in my closing now, we always knew in closing that they weren't closing. There was many more closings coming. That was just the first one. I really tried. Susan Woodward got onto me years ago, and she'd tell me, said, Perry, don't say in closing, because you know you're not going to close. And I took that from her. She was a mentor of mine for years. And some, you know, I'm just going to, because we're in the 50-year celebration, and next week we have our last service, 50 years of celebration. Susan Woodward was a mentor of mine who helped me with my grammar. And she came to me and asked, could she come and meet me on a weekly basis? And words that I would say from the pulpit was not correct. Then she would take in a very humble, loving, kind way. She helped me to improve my grammar, and I thank you very much. And it's improved a lot, I think, over the years because of her. And back to Naaman. Look at verse 14. God, thank God. He changed his mind. Thank God he finally listened to a little maid, a little servant, and some officers of his. So Naaman went down to the Jordan River, dipped himself 7 times as the man of God had instructed him, and his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child. And he was healed. I asked the Lord, if I was Naaman and I had leprosy and he healed me, I would be grateful. It's a little flaky in there. It really doesn't look as bad as it looks. But I'd be grateful at my age if God healed me of leprosy and it just be just like this again. I'd be grateful for that. And I asked the Lord, why did his skin become like a child? Because Jesus said, suffer the children, allow them to come to me. But that's what the kingdom is about. And so he went from being a mighty great warrior and prideful man to a childlike spirit.
Amen.
I think I'm going to say to a kid who cries out, get that kid out of here. No, 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 no. I was a kid, we didn't have children's church, so all the kids were in here, and I saw a bunch of them carried out. I mean, one I saw carried out screaming, pray for me, pray. They did, she did. Pray! Pray! Kids, my daddy always said, it's two of God's creations you can trust who know good people. Children know good people. They know if you love them, if you don't love them. And dogs. Children and dogs, they know. I want to become like a child. That's what Jesus said. Because children are, man, you can scream at them. If I screamed at you, get on my horse a minute. If I screamed at you the way you scream at your children sometime, you wouldn't speak to me for 10, 20 years. Terry Dawes yelled at me in the way that I had yelled at Dusty when she was little, you have to grovel a lot. That would really hurt me. Them kids, they just turn right around, and 5 minutes later will crawl up into your lap and kiss you on the cheek and say, I love you. And you just treated them like crap. I'm sorry, but you did. You shouldn't say that. It's not good. It's good preaching, though. And see, that's the way children are. Dogs are the same way. Treat them, yell at them, and in 2 minutes, come here, little puppy, and they crawl right up in your lap. See, that's what God wants from you and me. Drop your pride, quickly obey God, and value other people more highly than you value yourself. If I do that, I'm not going to get anything. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. Jesus, you're going to give up all that? Therefore, God highly elevated Him to the place of highest honor, gave Him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and in earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. How many tongues? Every tongue one day will confess He is Lord. Is there getting ready? I want to, I know, what's your name? I forgot, I've been gone a long time. Brian, come on up. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I thought this morning may I ought to have an altar call and deal with this thing, but it ain't big enough. It's not enough room down here. Because if you sat back there and didn't come down saying that you don't have any pride, I could not have dealt with that. That would have been more than I could handle. I'd just like to have seen everybody come down and just one say, I'm not coming. I'd have had to say, you are the most prideful person here, Bill. Get on down here, son. Come on. So let me just, I'm going to close with this. I told you, I'm sorry, but I'm going to close the third time, and I really am. Okay? Let's turn this theology into life. Glad you believe it. Glad you got it in your mind. What you gonna do with it? What you gonna do with it? Okay, that's up to you. Brian came last year, and he came and I left. And he didn't know who the pastor was. 3 weeks, came back and said, I was glad to meet you, Beard.
I thought I was the reason you left.
Yeah.
All right, so I am the only black tie-wearing person in this congregation, and you forget my name, really? Really? Black tie? Well, when I... I'm sorry. Well, I initially thought I was just getting up here today to talk about a Primo smoker grill that I don't know anything about. But just listening to Pastor Buren, the message today, I realized it was just an opportunity to do a little bit more. When I first came here a year ago, everybody that knows me knows I'm a dreamer. I push and push and push, and I try to get as far out there as possible. You know, you might have to reel me back in sometimes, but you'll never have to push me to think about doing more. And that's something I've really tried to breathe into the lives of the young people here at Eagles Way ever since I've been here. Now, this is a learning process for me, and I realized something along the way, that kids have beautiful, beautiful dreams, wonderful, enchanted, exciting, and expensive dreams. Learned this with Chad. I told him, you know, you can have whatever dinosaur you want. He picks out a dinosaur. He wants a red T-Rex. So he's going through these pictures. I'm like, this one? He's like, mm-mm. This one? Mm-mm. This one? Mm-mm. This one? That's the one. It's a vintage 1993 T-Rex from Jurassic Park from 10, 12, 15 years ago. $250 for a T-Rex toy that he's going to tear up. But I told him he could have whatever he wanted. He's not going to get it. But we're going to figure out something else. But that's what I did to the young people upstairs. You know, what do you want? And they started telling me things. They started telling me dreams and stuff they want to accomplish. And, very expensive dreams. And I started thinking, how are we going to pay for some of this stuff? How are we going to do this? How are we going to make it happen? And just a little lesson in humility for me. I'm a person that I feel like, you know, God is given me the ability to do a lot of different things. And when problems arise or difficulties in my life, I always feel like I can design or draw or talk or scheme my way out of the problem or somehow figure out how I can overcome those things without first looking to the one that gave me those gifts. And my lesson in humility is sometimes you just need to ask for help. So in the midst of me trying to figure out how I was going to do some of those things upstairs, you know, sometimes if you won't see the help that God is trying to give you, he'll put it right in your face. And my help came in the form of Will coming to me and said, hey, we got this grill donated to us. Want to raise money for the kids? Sell some raffle tickets. I said, all right, cool. Let's do it. Another thing Pastor Buren said was, you know, trying to be more childlike. Well, we were at the Doc Holliday Festival, and I would see the kids go off selling their tickets. And Hannah and Ben, they walk up to these complete strangers. You want to buy a raffle ticket? No. Thank you, sir. You want to buy a raffle ticket? No. Thank you, sir. You want to buy a raffle ticket? No. They would go, they just take off and be gone for 20, 30 minutes, and they come back. We sold one ticket. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. Me standing out there, you want to buy a ticket? I say, no. All right. You want to buy a ticket? No. All right. And that's because my expectations, every time I got a no, I felt like a little piece of me was failing at that particular moment because of my expectations of myself. And instead of viewing it the way the children, they viewed it was an opportunity to do it again, an opportunity to try again and again and again until they finally got it right. So this is me. I don't like asking for help. I'm here before you guys asking on behalf of the youth group, help me help them by purchasing a raffle ticket for this Primo Grill. I want to tell you that it's super great grill and it's the top of the line. I don't know that. Buren said it's good. Donnie Thurston says it's good. Mr. Howard Ayers says it's good, and it has to be good. I believe those three guys when it comes to grills. So please see one of the youth to purchase a raffle ticket. They're in a competition with each other to see who can sell their tickets the fastest. They're at the information booth as well. You can buy a ticket for $5, and the raffle is going to be on November 19th on a Wednesday night. So I think that's a little under a month away. So you have some time. This is me being humble, asking you guys to help us help the youth group. So please buy a ticket. Thank you all. And my name is Brian.
This morning, I'm so excited to have the opportunity to baptize my own son, Hayden, as he follows through with water baptism. We believe that water baptism is just a way to publicly show that you've asked Jesus into your heart. And it's really a privilege to be able to do that here at our new church, our new home, and we're very excited about that.
Tell them who you are.
My name is Hayden Brown, and I'm from Griffin, Georgia. And my mom's name is Holly Brown, and my brother's name is Ben Brown. And my dad's name is Jason Brown, and they all got baptized.
All right. And then tell me a little bit about when you asked Jesus into your heart.
Well, I was at Pike Assembly, and I was at my mom's church.
And you asked Jesus into your heart? All right, and then the third thing is why do you want to be water baptized? Because Just say, I want to be baptized because.
I want to be baptized because he said so. And
letting everybody know? Public confession?
Public confession. And we meet him in the water when we got baptized.
Perfect. That's all we needed. Good job.